You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We've got Ruth Buchanan in studio. Kia ora, Ruth, how are you?
Kia ora, good, thank you.
It's lovely, lovely to have you up here on this gloriously sunny morning out there as well. You must be pretty knackered though, big, long, busy couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, I definitely must say I feel quite rinsed out this morning. It's true. We've already been saying I'm going to have to dig pretty deep into my soul this morning to make it through the conversation.
But it's all good.
It's been super busy, very intense, very beautiful also. But I'm feeling a little tired today.
I think that's more than fair enough. So, Ruth, you've been nominated for the Walters Prize this year, which is very exciting, and congratulations as well. And it's for your work, Bad Visual Systems, which was on at the Adam Art Gallery originally.
Yeah.
And it's now on display in a different iteration in the Chartwell Gallery in the Auckland Art Gallery. So it's quite exciting to be able to have an opportunity to represent a work, I can imagine.
Yeah, no, that was, I mean, I was super thrilled to be nominated for this particular project. It was something that I worked on it for a really long time. It felt like it felt really like a significant sort of stake in the ground in my practice, and it was a really special process developing the project with Tina Barton in Wellington. I'm from Wellington, and Auckland Adam Art Gallery is right above my childhood home.
Oh,
so
really?
It's kind of been a space that I've thought about a lot, so it was really great to be able to do that. And then being nominated for that project, yeah, felt really good. I mean, it also was somewhat complicated because it was a solo show, but I chose to sort of extend the boundaries of what a solo show might look like or feel like by inviting two other women artists to show with me. Mm-hmm. So I guess when I was nominated for the Walters Prize, it felt to me like a brave nomination because I guess they weren't exactly sure what they would get. And I know the parameters of the prize has changed, I think, just in this one, maybe in the last one too, where you don't have to necessarily show the work that you were nominated for again. Mm. But I think maybe still on the down low, chill. People do expect there to be some resonance between those
projects. At least
projects.
A bit of crossover, yeah.
Yeah, and so I thought I felt really good that they nominated a complex project, and it's been really awesome to re-engage with it, actually. I've really enjoyed it. It's been pretty, busy and intense, and I suppose I could have chosen a slightly easier approach, but... Yeah, I felt like I got a lot out of it, and it was great working with Natasha Conland. I've never worked with her before and felt like we've started a really meaningful conversation, which is a real, real pleasure.
Yeah, totally.
Doesn't always happen. And the install and technical team at Auckland were incredible. So that's, it's made the last 2 weeks. Although, I've maybe cried 10 times. There's been a lot of good moments too. Yeah. So.
That's awesome. It must be nice to have a good tight team to sort of rely on when you're doing something.
Yeah, and it's also like the tears aren't necessarily to do with, oh no, it's going wrong, but it's just, install is such a...
It's hectic. It's intense. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even... Like, hectic. It really wasn't hectic. It was really calm and focused, but it is... It's that whole spectrum of being... working artist, I think, it's meaningful, it's scary, it's exciting, you're doubtful. I was here, sort of starting the process jet lagged without my family, and so feeling occasionally a little bit like, oh God,
what's happening?
I'm sort of curious with your work, when you're planning that installation, how much does the final version of it resemble the initial kind of, this is where this will go? And
planning, it's a great question. Because of the scale that I work at, like literally the scale, the size and scope of some of the, I guess, more like architectural interventions I make into spaces or have made into space, have developed that sort of language as part of my repertoire. Planning is really important. I work a lot with models and drawing and plans and in discussion with, in this case, the exhibition designer, Jason Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have here isn't the first version. You know, we went through a whole bunch of permutations where the configuration for the whole show was slightly mm-hmm. different, and that was also, you know, in movement as well. But once we settled, or once, I guess, Jason and Natasha settled on what the overall exhibition landscape would look like, then I did, you know, I guess, focus on developing more or less a pretty tight plan, but at the same time I do like to have
flexibility, maybe?
Flexibility, yeah. Things that you can pull in or pull out. But for example, for those of people who've seen the show, there is this substantial grid wall in the middle of the gallery space, and that was built before I arrived for install, and for me it was great because, like, okay, that is set.
I can't change this.
This is now, like, this is a new parameter,
yeah.
And this is how we're going to use that as our starting point. Yeah. And, I dropped a couple of things out,
mm-hmm.
added a couple of things, and I think for me that process, I guess, was, on the one hand, this more classical planning design process. How do I engage with the space where I'm not? How do I spend time developing
mm-hmm.
a spatial choreography or language? But at the same time, I was also trying to figure out how to, I guess, expand the project into the broader gallery, which was a strategy that sort of came out of the first iteration of Bad Visual Systems.
So,
and
for,
I was
for people
really
who
keen
don't,
to do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, so for people who aren't necessarily familiar with your practice, a lot of it is to do with architecture of spaces as well, and kind of the architecture of language a little bit too, and how that challenges the way we interact with ourselves in spaces as well. But one thing that I thought is really interesting is that idea that you're busting out of the gallery space that you're in, and you're kind of looking beyond that. So, for example, in the iteration that we've got at the Auckland Art Gallery, you've got the security camera sort of set up that looks at all the other Walters mm. Prize spaces, which I thought was really cheeky and, like, really funny, and I loved
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was great.
It's sort of you can see into all the other nominees' zones from this chaise longue kind of setup where one of the gallery assistants is positioned.
Mm.
And that's a really interesting thing as well. How did you decide to, you know, put a gallery assistant sort of into your space?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I've been thinking about and working with maybe the last 4 or 5 years, I guess. Because I guess you're right, Rachel, that my practice on the one hand is very focused on space, but on the other hand, I write mm. as well, and previously that's meant that I worked a lot in performance.
Mm-hmm.
So I would perform live, it would be me, I would read in particular spaces that I guess I'd sort of designed,
mm-hmm.
not a theatre setting, but not totally dissimilar to a theatre.
Yeah.
And at some point, I guess it was actually after I had my first baby, I was like, I don't really like being the body in the space
yeah.
anymore. I don't like it.
Mm.
But did feel like that liveness is mm-hmm. a really big, it's an important part of my work, and it's an important sort of offer, I think, or question I want to set up regarding where a parameter of an exhibition,
mm-hmm.
you know, where that sits. And so I did start thinking, okay, maybe what I can do is, you know, and I'm not the first person to do it, but to work with the broader sense of an institution's sort of infrastructure or material. And most institutions do have something like an invigilator or a gallery assistant
mm-hmm.
or a host. So I started to sort of, I guess, tweak those roles. The first time I did it, it was very, very, very subtle. It just involved the first space. It was an audio piece, and rather than having it on a loop, the host would guide the visitor in and press play. Just, I guess, to kind of bring in that sense of a demarcated duration as well, like the exhibition is starting now.
Yeah.
And that's something I expanded a little bit at the Adam. Just really wanting to push at all those possibilities for material engagement.
So at the Adam, if I'm correct, you had a visitor host that had an iPad with a work on it, is that right?
Yeah.
And so they were sort of describing the work rather than showing it to people.
No, they were showing it. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, was it Judith Hopf?
Yeah, was a piece by Judith Hopf. It's a really great piece of animation called More. And it's sort of based on, and I'm forgetting the title now, the Charles and Ray's Eames film To the Power of 100.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you're aware of, where they zoom in and then they zoom out.
Just kind of goes down to all the molecules and
begins
from like the outside of the earth and then
shoots down. So I guess they make a sort of, you know, comparison between outer space and, you know, the most inner space of all, like our bodies inside. And Judith took that as a sort of, an architecture to hang her own film off.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly at the Adam, the host offered this film on the iPad, which meant that really the only way to see that film was to sit quite close to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me was quite important to have that one-on-one moment. So there was no quote-unquote performance in that show, but there was a quite specific encounter that was attached to a body and attached to a time frame as well.
Yeah.
I think like at the Adam, it's a three-storied building and they only have one staff member on at a time, and the way they do that is by running this surveillance feed. But ordinarily the host, you know, would be more like discreetly located in the corner behind a desk.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all these super, like all of their hosts are basically all super cool art history students from Victoria University. Like, no, let's, I don't know. I'm sure there's lots of things about you that make it make more sense, at least for me, that you become that sort of first hit when you enter the space.
Yeah, and totally.
I guess here I wanted to extend that or continue that sort of slight tweaking of the parameters. So I think for lots of people, when they come into the Auckland Art Gallery, they won't even notice. The person will offer them a guide.
And they'll just take that to be, that's how
they'll
it goes.
Just cruise, like, you know, they won't participate in the tour. You know, there are these two tours each day. They won't, you know, they'll just be like, oh, yeah, there was a guy who gave me a thing, Cal. But I think for some of us, we will feel a shift
there,
I think.
I think we might play a song and then we might come back and talk a little bit more about that idea of collaboration and moving beyond the space and things too. Sorry to cut you off there, Theo.
I was just going to say, I went to the Adam version several times, and I remember the first time I went in, I didn't see the iPad video, and I didn't know it existed. And then I went back a second time with my dad, and we went through the whole show, and then we came back up to the entrance floor, and the gallery attendant was like, you know, showed us the iPad, and I was like, wait a minute, there's something new? How did that happen in like 3 days? It's like the life of the gallery. I feel like the Adam has a history of doing shows that have that kind of motion within them.
No, but I think that's like a really kind of nice way to summarize it, that one of the things for me that's so important is that an exhibition is always live, like it is, and pretending that it's not is kind of insane. So I do think it's useful maybe to set up possibilities within a standard exhibition show, which sort of highlight that to us, that we are occupying the space together in a particular way.
Yeah, totally.
Play a song.
We're going to play a song and then we're going to talk more about that. This is The Slits with Typical Girls. You're listening to 95 BFM Art Bank and we are chatting to Ruth Buchanan.
Don't trip out. a good art. It's Art Bank on 95BFM.
It is, and we are chatting to Ruth Buchanan, who is one of the Walters nominees this year, and kia ora again, Ruth.
Yeah.
And we've been chatting a bit about your work down at the Adam Art Gallery and sort of how that's been translated up into Auckland and readapted and shifted as well. Theo was just saying off mic, it's kind of amazing the bit of the art gallery that
you... Yeah, you can see out the window and it looks like the Adam. Like the, it's a strange, just like a very effective translation. I don't know how much that was.
Yeah, that's happenstance, yeah. But it's true.
It's it nice. True. Yeah, it's a nice sort of accidental.
I mean, I think, I don't know, for me, like access to natural light is such a important thing. Again, yeah. I think to kind of emphasize the span of a show, mm-hmm. that a show might look one way at 11 a.m. and perhaps ideal viewing time is 2 p.m. and then it sort of fades out towards the end of the day. So I was like pretty keen to have some access to natural light, and in the Chartwell Gallery, for those who've been there or haven't been there, it's kind of an internal chamber, mm-hmm. which is divided up in different ways depending on what the show is. So there really is only one light source, which is this airlock space, which you can walk out through to get to the East Sculpture Terrace, which is a really great outdoor space.
It's so you're quite lucky to have that sort of light in the sort of it's a funny room actually, the Chartwell. Eh? I hadn't really thought about that internal chambering of it, but it is like that.
There's a mirror at the end of the space, and that just gets you to kind of double down on that.
Yeah, no, the mirror thing is, I guess, kind of a. I mean, mirrors have appeared in my work a lot, sort of 10 years. Actually, the first time I used it, I'm a big fan of Frances Stark. She's an American woman artist and sort of writer also. And she had a big show in the Netherlands at the Van Abbe Museum, and I was living in the Netherlands at the time. And I went with my school, so I was there studying, and one of the supervisors, we went on this tour, and part of what Frances does in her work is, I guess, that line between art and life is very, very, very brittle. It's sort of invisible, and she binds lots of her biographical details into the work, and one of the works included cut-up exhibition invitations. And my friend Jan, who was my supervisor, was like, oh my God, there's my name. I'm in one of the works. And oddly enough, she had a mirror hanging next to that. And I was like, yeah, for the rest of us, we've got the mirror. So we're all in the show now.
I love it.
And it sort of really stuck with me as a mirror is a space for reflection, but it is also a way to... double, triple, quadruple what's happening. So I guess here I felt like I wanted to activate that mirror language as like a way to document the space. So you kind of have an instant documentation. So the mirror is placed behind this cut-up book element, which is the publication I made at the end of the original iteration, and we've cut it up now for this show. So you see the documentation of the first iteration, and then you see the doubled second iteration and yourself. So it's sort of, opening and closing and doubling things.
Yeah.
And it works really well with the natural light also.
Yeah, totally.
Kind of doubles the small amount of natural light that we have in the space.
Yeah.
And it also tricked me. I got tricked at the Adam, and I got tricked again, and I thought I couldn't, but I was like, no, this is a huge gallery. Wait a minute.
Why did Ruth get so much more space than anybody else?
I was like, wait a minute, this is huge. It's like a football field. And I walked up to it, I was like,
see that guy looks a lot like me.
Who's he looking at?
I think we've got just enough time to maybe talk about... one thing that you're doing is these tours throughout the day. So there's one at 11 and one at 2. Could you maybe talk about that a little bit? So they take you to other sort of sites of work as well.
Yeah, I guess like because the original, the first iteration of Bad Visual Systems contained the work of Judith Hopf and Mariana Vex, pretty early on in preparing this iteration, I decided, or we decided, that wasn't going to be workable or appropriate for a number of reasons, but I did really want to connect to their practice in some way, and I guess I was also looking for a way to kind of, make my Bad Visual System part of the whole language of the Auckland Art Gallery, and I had, I guess it was lucky happenstance, but there's a permanently, it is permanent, I think, a sculpture by Rachel Whitereed is installed on the East Sculpture Terrace, which you can access from my gallery space, to cast blocks. And Rachel Whitereed is someone who's been really important to me and Judith, you know, in different ways at different points in our practice. And I was like, oh, great. So we can run a tour to there, and then we can use that as a way to kind of connect to Judith's work. And then amazingly, Catherine Hammond, the research librarian at the Auckland Art Gallery, had just finished, or had recently opened, a really comprehensive show, Collective Women, and it looks at sort of activist feminist practice in New Zealand from 1970 to 1990. And Mariana Vex is a senior artist. She's in her early 80s now. So that's exactly when she was active. And I was like, oh, great. So we can run a tour down there and then we can connect to Mariana's work.
Yeah.
And I guess for me, it was both. It was the opportunity to speak to those two other women artists who were in the show with me, but also to hijack the resources of the gallery. It's like, oh, perfect, you've prepared this archival show for me. It's exactly what I needed. Fantastic. Fantastic. There's a Rachel Whitereed all ready to go. Perfect. So I felt like, you know, it was both of those things.
Yeah.
And I did like the idea as well that in the first iteration there were three of us, and now there's maybe six of us.
Yeah.
And next time maybe there'll be 60 of us, sort of expanding that catchment area somehow of what things I'm able to touch on or speak to or disrupt.
Yeah, totally.
But the tours, I do recommend it, and I also recommend if you can go more than once, because the hosts, they are scripted, so it's a script I've prepared for the hosts, but these people are not actors, so they're sort of taking this role and making it their own in a lot of ways, which is super beautiful, actually. Mm. It means that every visitor will have a different experience, you know, and I did run-throughs with a couple of them, and they were super different, but each kind of fantastically, so like, wow, you were really nervous. That was so cool, though. You did it. That was great. I'm like, oh, my God, you're like an actual professional actor. This is perfect.
It's awesome.
So I think that's, I really like that as well, that there are these, you know, while the installation space is pretty tight, there is at the same time
a looseness to those
those
other qualities.
There's another tone that comes in through that those live moments.
Yeah.
And they're short. They're 5 minutes. So please, you know.
It's a really exciting work, and it's a really amazing engagement with the space as well, and bringing in all these folded histories from other spaces and other practitioners as well. It's a really exciting thing. So congratulations for this, and you know, good luck as well. It's all that sort of weird, hard part of a competition where everybody's made this amazing work, and then someone sort of ends up with a prize at the end. But you know,
it's a bit awkward, the weird bit of it.
I guess. But we're all the winners because we get to see the work.
Exactly. Not to be cheesy, but it is true. It is true.
It's an exciting time.
No, and I do also feel like, if you spend too much time thinking about that component, it's a kind of screws with you a little bit. I've just felt like it's been great to, as I say, start a conversation with Natasha, spend more time with this work again. I wrote a couple of new essays for this exhibition guide I made, which I was really proud of. You know, it's been a dynamic process for me well. So,
well, thank you so much for coming up and chatting
like
to us.
Feel like a winner already.
Chatting to us about it this morning, Ruth Buchanan, who is nominated for Bad Visual Systems for the Walters Prize this year, and you're heading back to Berlin today, is that right?
Yeah, we have a talk at the gallery this afternoon at 2:00. So
in the auditorium.
It's in the Chartwell Gallery.
Oh, in the actual Chartwell Gallery.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
So it's going to be more like a floor talk, I think. So it'll be all of the five artists involved in the Walters Prize exhibition and Natasha Conlon, the curator.
Cool.
And then I will fly back to Berlin. It seems a little bit ridiculous. Yep.
Well, we're very glad you could make time to hang out with us. So thank you so much, Ruth. Yeah.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.